Okay. There's an expression, kol akova letova. Every delay has its reason. Rabbi Dr. Agustin and I started learning these halachas of Psua Daka in the year 2008, I believe. In the year 2008, I was in Toronto, and there was a chabura over here in Young Israel's Hancock Park learning Evena Ezer. And as we were learning, Dr. Agustin kept on having more and more and more chidushim in this topic of Psua Daka, which is a topic that is not very much spoken about. It's not developed. So first of all, it's a schus that we have it over here in Young Israel at Hancock Park at Boisland Mechved Asanya, Rabbi Kraus and Rabbi Siegelman. We're honored to have the shir over here, and it's what better place? This is where the Daf Yomi shir of Dr. Agustin has been going on for many, many years. And I have the schus of knowing many people over here. Particularly, we want to mention Rabbi Tzvika Reisman, who much Torah I have learned from, and we exchange a lot of Torah together, so it's an honor. Tzvika did write a very warm letter in the Sefer to both Dr. Agustin and myself. And this Sefer is a product of recognizing the tremendous shilas that are involved over here, and there is no way that any Meir Hayra, any Pesach, any Rav could approach these shilas without being in constant contact with a doctor, and a doctor who knows what he's talking about, who's a Talmud Chacham. And that's what we have in Dr. Agustin over here. And I was able to learn these inyanim, and we were able to be mevar some of these inyanim together. And more recently, and we didn't know why it took so long. And Baruch Hashem, things sped up. And here we are 5 days before the daf, where it's coming exactly on these sugyas of Yevamah, daf Ein Hey. And here we are, five days before the daf Yomi cycle, and we were able to have the Sefer finally come out. A special mention to Rabbi Ariel Ovadia, who is now a Chashav Meir Hayro in Lakewood, that worked a lot on the Sefer. And this Sefer has, Baruch Hashem, a lot of effort was put into it, especially in the past few months. A special Yasher Koyach to Dr. Yaakov Agustin as well, who together with Dr. Agustin, they went around Eretz Yisrael speaking to prominent Poskim and presenting to them key shilas on the subject, which to date, to our knowledge, has not been done before. A sefer on this subject of Psua Daka that we hope that the Meiri Hayra and the Rabbanim and people who are Isaac in these shilas are going to have a resource to go to and really be able to understand what the shilas. Of course, we are not paskening halacha lemaisi. These are inyanim chamurim ad ma'id. And what I would like to do over here is basically introduce some of the key topics that are going to come up in the daf, some of the key topics and shilas that we deal with, and then we're going to hear from Dr. Agustin some amazing insights about the Sefer. So we're going to start with the following. The Pasuk tells us, Lo yavah p'tzua daka v'kruzfacha b'kal Hashem. And the Isser of p'tzua daka, people commonly think it's because, obviously, we want there to be children in Klal Yisrael. And if people are not able to be moilid, so they can't marry into Klal Yisrael. However, the Sefer Achinuch gives a different approach. In Siman Mitzvah Tov Kuf Nun Tes, the Sefer Achinuch says that the reason of Psua Daka is actually because this was a practice that the kings used to do, that they were mesaris. They used to castrate the zicharim to make them shomrim lanoshim, to make them guardians. And they wanted to keep them. They wanted to keep them mesuris. So for that reason, it's something disgusting. So we don't involve ourselves in such an iser. However, the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim Chela Gimel Perik Mem Tes explains that the reason of Psua Daka is kipshutai, because we want there to be haylado, we want there to be pure of Yerivian Kal Yisrael, and obviously this is a big manea. Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with these reasons. And he explains one of the key halachis that we have to remember in Ptsua Daka is that the Gemara tells us that there's a limud that excludes a chayli bidei shamayim. That means that Ptsua Daka is only an iser if it's a chayli bidei adam. But a chayli bidei shamayim is going to be exempt, and there's no problem with Ptsua Daka. And this is going to be one of the main heterim when, unfortunately, there are cases of Ptsua Daka in the community. We examine if it's a chayli bidei shamayim, and we'll speak for a moment what that means. But Rav Moshe Feinstein just points out that it's really dependent on upon these reasons, because if you're going to tell me that it's totally in Hailada, so should it really make a difference if it's a Chayli B'dei Shemayim or not? If it's because of the Sefer Achinuch, we understand much more. It's most to do an action of castrating, but if it happened, Mishamayim, it's not his fault, so then we understand much more why a Chayli B'dei Shemayim is a Ptur. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe does explain, according to the Rambam's approach, that it's because of Hailada how it works. It's not the time to speak about it now, but I just wanted to present some of the background information. Really, I'm just giving some Rashi Prakim. There is a major machlaikis. This is a central machlaikis. I'm going to just mention some key machlaikis, and then in order to really, so that we understand some of the insights that Dr. Agustin is going to tell us. There's a central machlaikis between the Rambam and the Rosh, whether Chayli B'dei Shamayim includes somebody who became sick, and therefore they had to remove the testicle. Is that also called a Ptsua Daka, that B'dei Shamayim is going to be mutter? So when I said B'dei Shamayim, does that include somebody who became sick B'dei Shamayim, or something like Brokim V'ra'amim, let's say thunder hit him, but not a Chayli? So the Rosh is Madayik from Rashi. The Rosh is Medayik from Rashi. That Davka Achayli, a Davka Bidei Shamayim, that's Brokim V'ra'amim. But if somebody became sick, that's not a Ptura Bidei Shamayim. The Rambam held any Chayli that happened to a person, that is going to be a Ptur, and he's not considered a Ptsua Daka, hence he could marry into Kal Yisrael. When we talk about marrying into Kal Yisrael, he could marry into anyone. A Ptsua Daka cannot marry unless he marries a Mamzeres or a Giyoris. A Mamzeres or a Giyoris. And Svika is going to tell you some H's that people have when we want a koyin to marry a grusha v'chulu. There's some original H's that people have in this regard. In kan mekoyme. But what I will tell you is that in this shaila of Ptsua Daka, whether the Rosh understands that in Rashi that it's only that it doesn't include a chayli makes big problems for people who have sicknesses and they don't know, and they have to unfortunately remove a testicle. This is where there are big shailas in the poskim. There are stiras in Rashi. Rashi in another place says a chayli might yes be considered bidei shamayim. And we found, and we expanded on the Sefer, that the Piskei Arid explains that there's a difference between a localized chayli, which that might be a Ptsua Daka, that would be Aser, but if it's a Chayli for the whole body, that would be a problem. And we demonstrated in the Sefer what type of Chayli we're talking about,
Klinefelter
syndrome.
Mumps or Kitis,
we explained, is going to be another Yishuv, how the Ein Yitzchak, or Yitzchak Chodet Spekter, explained Rashi. So each one of these Chilukim, in the Sefer, we were able to explain al pi chachmas harefua what the Rishayna meant. That's going to be one of the big advantages of the Sefer, really, to we can understand the Lashaynas and based on that, what we are talking about. But we are going to see that even according to the Rosh, if there's somebody who has an intrinsic chayli, that he is a saris in his whole guf, it's not something localized, that even according to the Rosh and Rashi might be a ptur and he would not be considered a ptua daka. The Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions, the Rosh and the Rambam, and it seems that many Achrayim are machmir from the Rosh, and they say that if somebody got lo aleinu a sickness and they had to remove a testicle, technically speaking, he would be considered a Ptsua Daka. They discuss what would happen if he's already married, does he have to divorce, and then they discuss when we could use the Rambam's Shita. That a chayli that came bidei shamayim, but then bidei adam, they had to remove the testicle. Would that, is there makom to be soymech on that shita in certain circumstances? But it's a big issue. That's one of the issues that the Paiskim speak about. Another issue is the famous shita of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam discusses in the sugya where it says nitla beitza achas. The Paiskim discusses how could nitla beitza achas not be a problem of tzuadak. And he explains there's a difference between something that is crushed or something that is totally removed. Nitla might be better, it might be better total removal than crushed, which is why the Yerushalmi seems to indicate that it would be better to remove the left testicle than the right testicle. And why would that make a difference if one removes the testicle? So that in the Sefer, we're also going to explain, al pi chochmas harefuah, how the statistics show that the, especially the left testicle, if it's removed, there are still great chances of hoylada. So that's another nekuda that we speak about in the Sefer. Unfortunately, this shaila came up after the Holocaust. Rabbi Yashiv was asked this shaila by people who, lo aleinu, had operations done to them, lo aleinu, and they came to Rabbi Yashiv and they asked, are they allowed to get remarried? Lo b'kal Hashem, they are tzuadaka now. Their testicles, they were totally healthy, but they were removed by the Rishayim. So there is an opinion that Rabbi Zalman Meltzer speaks about in the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, the Smag, who adds on a word that when is Chayli Bidei Adam, when is a Chayli going to be a problem if it's B'Pshiyasai? So there is such a word, such a girsa in the Smag, if it's bipshiyasai. That means he was negligent. Something happened where he was negligent. But if he wasn't negligent at all, there is an opinion of the Smag that it could be that that's not called psuadaka. And Rabbi Yashiv shows from others that it's not as simple, and therefore it is not so simple to be saimach on that on its own. So unfortunately, there are tough shaylas. I'm going to just mention to you a few of the shaylas that we deal with before we hear from Dr. Agustin more in detail. Number one is people. There, people have obviously they come to the Rav after they became Balei Tshuva and they had a vasectomy. They had a, which is a serious shaila. That's classic Tzua Daka V'Krus Shfacha. The tubes were cut. And that was b'pshiyasai, that's somebody who's a p'tuadaka, who unfortunately can't marry. Baruch Hashem, for modern day medicine, that there's a reversal operation that could get a person to have his tubes functioning again. And it's not full, there isn't full success rate. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if there is even a 40% success rate, although you would need roiv, but since there are some people who are anyways not moilid, it could be enough that already 60%, already 40% of a success rate that we know that people are moilid through this reversal operation, it would work. So there we're going to see in the tshuva, and we asked many, many gdolei ha'poskim, and they all agree that a reversal operation is something that would be matir, a person to come back to Kal Hashem. That's a big deal, and that's a big deal. We try as hard as Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in our Sefer that he wrote to us, that there's so much tsar for somebody who cannot find a shidduch, get married because of this issue, that it's like the topic of iguna. It's like the topic of igun, that we try as hard as we can to find heterim and not to be machmir. And especially nowadays, it's unbelievable with the medical advances that have been done. There are so many procedures that avoid these issues. There's laser, TURP, there, you know, and prostate cancer, and issues with the prostate. It used to be, especially in the time where Moshe Feinstein was writing his tshuvas, they used to cut the tubes. And then we had to deal with the Chazanish's opinion that the tubes that are in the body maybe are not considered part of Psuadaka, and others who argued. It was a complicated shaila. Nowadays, Dr. Agustin will explain that we don't have to come on to that anymore. There's different methods to circumvent that. There's different methods to circumvent that. There's going to be a shaila that when there's testicular torsion, which is there are situations, and the doctor is going to to be myrick in that a little bit more, that when the testicle was unfortunately twisted in a, up to a point that it's dead. Now, that doesn't mean that the child or the person cannot have, or the adult cannot have children anymore. It means that they have a dead testicle. So we had a debate with other opinions that it could be that you should just leave the testicle in there. And we proved, LP, many poiskim, we asked many poiskim, this shiloh is one of the shilohs that we asked the poiskim, is that since many parents don't want to leave the dead testicle in the body, it could cause all types of infections and whatever else. There was a debate, does it cause infection? Does it not cause infection? But halachically speaking, if indeed we determine that the testicle is totally dead, it's like cutting basar ba'almo. That wouldn't be part of the isser. So there, so I'm just going to leave you with the last thing is the shittas of Marashal, that if you have a surgery that's done, letzorich refuah, and we are actually trying to help the person have children. For example, there are many times, Rabbi Siegelman is definitely deals with this very often, is that when people have issues of finding sperm, so many times there is a procedure called TESI or micro-TESI, which is a minimally invasive procedure taking semen from the testicles themselves. So TESI is something that's much more invasive, but still, it's there in order to have a lot of, but you're taking part of the testicle, and that's going to be part of daf yomi, nikev, and it's going to be nechsar, and you're going to have some of the testicle that's nechsar. Is that going to be a problem? And many poiskim in the sefer we brought in the back said that they felt that it wasn't a problem, although some said it's better to do micro-tesi, which is a very, very small amount. So anything that's the tzorech refuah would be less of an issue. So I just presented mamashal ketzei ha'mazleg on the tip of an iceberg of different shilas that are going on over here, so we can understand that when we learn the daf, we appreciate the halacha lamais and the dynamics that comes out of all of these different sugyas. And I want to give a big, big yasher koyach to Dr. Agustin for putting so much effort and really making sure that this sefer comes to light. It's a much, much credit, and it's going to be a big benefit for the Olam HaTorah and for the Poiskim. I already yesterday got an email from a prominent Poisik in Borough Park, how he bought the safe from Brooklyn. We don't have it yet in LA. It's supposed to come any day. We have a few boxes that we were able to bring, but it's coming soon to LA, but it's already on the East Coast. It's already on the East Coast, and I already got an email already how a Poisik that deals with these issues said that there's laser nowadays that we could do this surgery and that surgery, and then he brought that the Lavush and the Divrei Chaim held it's not totally in Hoylada. So already the subject is coming to light, and that's a big deal. Taking a subject that's a meis mitzvah and bringing it to light is bischus, and really is chus Dr. Agustin. We're gonna ask him to share some Divrei Torah.
It is very appropriate that we're giving this year here in Young Israel Hancock Park. Rabbi Krauss graciously asked me to begin teaching the evening daf yomi in 1989. So it's 33 years that my chabura here in Young Israel Hancock Park have been learning the daf yomi. I never would have reached to the point where I could participate in being a machaber this type of sefer unless I've had that type of kvias in learning Torah, and I give a lot of, and I recognize Rabbi Krauss in the sefer because of that. And I also recognize my chavrusa Ratzika Reisman, because also for the last 40 years, I've been a chavrusa with every Sunday. I never would have come to this point to be able to work with Rabbi Lepar in producing this sefer. I have tremendous hakaras atzov, so it's wonderful to be able to do this in this shul. I would just like to give a background and chizuk to everybody sitting here. I'm a urologist. I've been a urologist for the last 35 years. And over those many years, I've gotten dozens, if not hundreds, of phone calls from poskim in Los Angeles, around the country, sometimes from Eretz Yisrael, about a specific urological question that the posek wanted me to explain to them what the metzias is. What is a varicocele? If there's testicular cancer, what has to be done? All the various questions that related to Pitzua Daka, they wanted me to declare the medical issues. Now, as we went through the Daf Yomi, I've been through it now five times. Every time you vomit Pitzua Daka, we went through it. And I have to tell Rav Avram Cohn, who's the Rosh Kolal of Nishmas Yisrael and Bayit Vegan, He's come every year for many years. And he used to stay by Michael Kess's house. And that year he wasn't in town, so he asked me to be his achsanya. And he was in my house for a week. And he learns halacha, hilchasa, shmaitza, aliba de hilchasa. His call is very involved in practical halacha. So he wanted me to learn with him the sugyas and yevonis, and we learned all the chazonishas, and all the, and we learned at night in my home, 4 or 5 hours, and I took copious notes, et cetera, et cetera, and we drew pictures and everything like that. This is about 20 years ago, and every year that he came, he said, you are mechayev to write a sefer, because the Moirei HaRoa needs something like this, like the sefer Shechitas Chulin, that many of us have used when we learned Chulin, with pictures. How do we learn the sugya without it? Well, if you take a look at the back of the sheets I gave you, there's very careful anatomical drawings which will explain some of the sugyas that we're dealing with. They have been carefully censored. Rav Usher Weiss, who I, as Rabbi Leber said, went to him, I sat with him for an hour and a half with my son, agreed to give a haskama, but he had to make sure what are the pictures going to look like. So there's some modifications of the pictures to make sure that it's more tznias. But it's still very, very identifiable exactly what the anatomy is, what the shvilim, and what we're talking about. And so what was that? Why did I want to give courage to everybody? Every one of you are in a certain field. I don't know what it is, whether it's law or accounting, whatever. But you deal with a certain specific issue that maybe you are an expert in. And you can provide expertise in a certain halacha that really nobody else knows. And I would encourage everybody to have a chavrusa with someone who can learn out that sugya with you, and you never know how many others sforim will come out. We have a great role model, Tzvi Reisman, who's written over 20 sforim. So he's machayev us. If he can do it, we can do it. We can try. We can try. We just scratched the surface, but we can try. So I'd like everyone to turn to page 17. All I want to do is show some examples of how this sefer is a little different. Because we try to show that medical metzias, certain medical facts, inform the sugya. It's not like when Chaim Brisk made Tzvei Dinim, it's pure svara. But we want to try to learn within a svara of one of the Rishonim, where did he come up with it? And it was a certain maybe hidden medical fact that the Rishonim somehow knew in their bones that it was true 800 years before medical science finally showed it. I just want to show a few examples of that. Look at page 17. If everybody is with me in the sheets, page 17. There's a major machlokes regarding the issue of beitza achas, one testicle removed. We just started tonight. Daf ayin, the Mishnah, starts off, ezeu psiyadaka, kol shebeitzim niftzu, afilu achas mehen. So, Torah Rabbon, Ezeu Ptsuadaka, what is a Ptsuadaka? Kol Shenivtsu Beitzim Shlo, if his testes were injured, Vafilu Achas Mei, even one testicle. Amr Shmuel B'Doi Shmuel B'Yorchim Nebroika, Shomati B'Pichachomi B'Kerem B'Yavna, I heard, Kol She'enu Ela Beitza Achas, Eno Ela Sritz Chama V'Kosher. So there was a Shita that if you have one Beitza, you're not a Ptsuadaka. So you see there's a Machloikas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shmuel regarding whether losing one testicle. All the cases that Rabbi Levar described today, for example, when we say that there's a choli bidei shomayim, so we have to decide. Let's say somebody got an abscess in their testicle, right? That's not a pshia, he didn't do anything wrong. So if, for example, let's say he was negligent, he was running over a gate and he damaged himself, he was really negligent in doing that. So that you could say he's a pshia. But somebody all of a sudden gets an infection, and then the surgeon has to remove the testicle because there's infection. Or let's say, God forbid, there's cancer. The treatment of cancer of the testicle is to remove the testicle. Well, if beitza achas, removal of that, makes you a ptsuadaka, that's a problem. Because it's very uncommon to remove two testicles. So that's going to certainly make you a ptsuadaka. But what about beitza achas? So let's look at page 45. Toisvus there says, read with me where I started. Im yovol lefonai bal beitza achas, ani machshiru. That if somebody came with one testicle, I would say he's not a psuadak. Om ragin barchanina uvilvad shleimin. as long as it was whole. Let's Omari Sheyesh Lefarish betray Gavni. That word shleimim, you could learn it two ways. Kloima, Davka Shinitla Achas, and we're talking about one testicle removed and the Achas Shleima kosher. Aval Niftza Afilo Achas, but it wasn't removed whole, it was removed in chopped up pieces, let's say, it was not removed as a whole. Afilo Achas Gret Fake, it's worse. And they bring us a svar from Chulin where the whole spleen is removed. There, one of the yud ches treifas, if you remove the whole spleen, it's not a treifa. As opposed to, if the spleen was removed in pieces, it is a treifa. Now, by the way, in practical traumatic surgery, when we are called and there was an acute abdomen and the spleen was injured, the treatment is to remove it. Because if you leave a partially fractured spleen, it's much more dangerous because it can bleed. So that's already an understanding, already from the time of Chazal, that they knew that removing the whole organ is better. Says, I will not read with me more. I will yoyser near l'ri, l'farish em shtei tevos, uvilvad b'shal yamin, v'chumrik, that means the word shleimin doesn't mean remove the whole testicle whole. It means make sure they didn't remove the right testicle. Chumrik do the toivin zar l'roifin lach toich shal shmol im efshar. That means if there's a problem and they have to do surgery, let them remove the left testicle. So this is the famous heter of Rabbeinu Tam, that removal of one testicle, if it's the left one, you're not going to be a Petsua Daka. Go back to page 17. Go back to page 17. Look at Psak Halacha. Ula Halacha B'Shulchan Aruch. See on the bottom, Psak Halacha. Nichmasu Abeitzim O Achas Vehim. If both testicles removed, or even one testicle, oshenifza achas meyim, right? That harei ze posel ad kan. So the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch is removal of one testicle makes you to a daka. V'hoisef haramah, v'chein ikar. Ramah says, and that's the halach. Udelok yesh matirim balbeit achas. Who's he referring to? Rabbeinu Tam. Im haisa oisa shenit l'shleima. Kishanitla, in the Shirashal Yamin, as long as when it was removed whole, not in pieces, and the one that remains is the right. The heat for us, Rabbeinu Tam. Says the Ramah, Omnam Ra'isi Makilin Kisfor Achroinu. We see that they're Makilin, Aval Tovlochosh Be'isr Dereisel Adivach Machmir, Ve'hev Rav Minyan V'rav Binyan Adkan. Wow. So in 1580, when the Ramah lived, both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah held that removal of one testicle, you were up to a daka. Let's read the next paragraph. Mikol makom ha-poiskim achroinim lo'orech ha-doiros not to lahakil b'zeh. The later achroinim were lenient. Ha-kolponim hechad chazina demoylid, the famous Yam Shoshlema, the kach kosu ha-marshal, the after ha-rambab lo'iposol el hechad esul ha-moylid. Right, the Rambab's concept that what is Psu Adaka? It's because you can't be moiling. Aval, quote, Masha Korsi Machshav Haroifi. That the doctor is cut, Machmas Ha'Evel. He's referring to a kidney stone. Usually, remember, the Marshal's writing in 1600. The testicles are not removed for a kidney stone. I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that. Oshvira Sagur. That I know what he's talking about. That's a hernia. What does a hernia have to do with anything? Sometimes if you have a very large hernia, in order to repair it properly, the surgeon will remove the testicle. Because remember, our testicle begins near the kidney, and then it descends in utero until finally it pokes itself out through the inguinal canal and then down into the scrotum. That's why men get hernias in their inguinal canal. That's the weakest part, because there has to be room for the testicle to come out. So sometimes the surgeon has to close that gap so tightly that he's going to ruin the blood supply of the testicle, so they have to remove it. So that's what the Marshal is talking about, that it was removed because of Shvira Saguf. So, of course, in our Sefer, we explain this. I think for many years, they didn't exactly understand what the Rishonim or Achronim were talking about when they wrote, because you needed a urologist to explain it. Now, let's continue the Marshal. It's a very important sentence. So now, Achav HaRoifim Achmasa Evner Shvira Saguf V'yoydin L'takei Nadov Reheti. So we know for sure that after this operation, the person is going to be able to have children. They don't damage the vast deference. Ushvila zer, oilechit tikuno. Here comes the three most important words. Toloi b'chochmas harifua. This is a different sugya than many sugyas. This is toloi in what the roifim say. If the roifim say you can be moilit, then he's not a psuda. That's the yisod of the marshal. Ein b'yadeinu lifts lipaslo kol ikar uvon of che. V'chei nokto akrav l'achel adivir malkiel, v'abnei nezer, v'gam b'shus beis Ephraim. And this is the way the poskim and paskin. Or so therefore, and I won't go into the Beis Yitzchak who says that even the right testicle, that means this heter of the left has been extended to the right as well. It makes no difference whether the one or the other. If the roifim say that he can be moiled after the surgery, so now you're going to ask me, well, how do we know the fertility of someone with one testicle is the same as two testicles? Well, I have a few pages in the Sefer documenting with much literature from the Journal of Urology and Fertility and Sterility, etc., that the fertility of a man with one testicle is exactly the same as the fertility of a man with two testicles. Exactly the same. So we support the Marshal. It's not stamazor, yes. Literature shows us today that the fertility rate of a man with one testicle, whether it was removed because of torsion, whether it was removed because of cancer, regardless of the reason why it was removed, the fertility rate is the same. It's the same as a kidney. If your kidney is removed, your serum creatinine is exactly the same. It functions the same way with the testicle. Now, as you age, and your serum testosterone, as a man ages, your testosterone will go down. So if you have less testicular mass, eventually you might need testosterone boost. But regarding fertility, it's not a difference. Now, I want to read the following with everybody. Look at page 45. Hevdelim ha'antomim beinat. What's the anatomical difference between the left testicle and the right testicle? The venous drainage of the right testicle drains to the vena cava, which is the main vein returning blood to the heart. The left testicle drains into the left renal vein. Means the vein that drains the kidney on the left side, so it's right angle going down to the left testicle. Therefore, 25% of males are born with something called a varicocele, which is a varicose vein, just like people get varicose veins in their legs. You can examine somebody and they have a dilated vein in the left testicle. In fact, we see a varicocele, a couple will come in after trying to have children for a year, that's defined as infertility. If we examine the man, we might feel that there's a varicose vein there. You have to make them cough, make them stand up, and you can diagnose. It feels like a bag of worms. It's an anatomical abnormality. And when the America drafted 12 million men during World War II, they examined every single person. They identified that the incidence of a varicose is about 25%. So, now, the vast majority of men with varicoceles have no problem with fertility. But, in couples that come in with infertility, and the man happens to have a varicocele, and an analysis is done of their semen through a permitted way. For example, the couple can have relations with a small hole in a protective device, and then that's what gathers the fluid that it can be evaluated halachically, permittedly. Because otherwise, how do we obtain that fluid? So there are techniques of how to obtain that fluid. And let's say their count is low, and you surgically repair the varicose. You go in and you tie off under a microscope with little suture, and you get rid of all the veins. So, and then you evaluate their analysis 6 months later, and you see a high count, and pregnancy rates improve by 40 to 60%. And this has been a standard method of attempting to correct fertility in some patients. In an adolescent child, a 14 or 15 year old boy, who sometimes is brought to the office and the parent identified a varicocele. So usually you don't have to do anything, because I told you the vast majority, 90% of men with varicoceles don't have a problem with fertility. But if you identify that their testicle is atrophic, has not grown properly, you can do it by ultrasound, you can do it by measurement. So there's indication to repair the varicocele as an adolescent, so that there will not be problems with fertility in the future. There's data that prevents them from ever having a problem. Why do I bring all this up? Well, now we understand when Rabbeinu Tam said that if you want to remove a testicle, remove the left testicle. Because the left testicle is inherently weaker. The left testicle has a varicose seal. The left testicle doesn't develop properly. It can develop atrophy like we see in these adolescent men. So this is an insight that we've gleaned from modern medical science in understanding what was the shita of Rabbeinu Tam regarding the value of leaving the right testicle and taking out the left testicle if it had to. Now, again, today, there's no difference between the left and the right. Most of the posts say there's no difference whether the right or the left, he's still kosher. One other concept from Rabbeinu Tam, in the shleimim concept. We talk a lot about what Rabbi Levbar mentioned regarding testicular torsion. That's when the testicle hangs by a sporadic cord, where the artery in the vein that's bringing blood to the testicle is in that cord. And sometimes there's an anatomic abnormality that as a child is 13, 14, 15, it usually happens around adolescence, that the testicle can twist. Think about a rock dangling in a rubber band. If the rock turns, you can see what happens. The rubber band twists, so you can shut off its own blood supply. So you have 4 to 8 hours of severe pain. Family brings the child into the emergency room. I, as a surgeon, have done this probably over 100 times in a 35-year career, where you're called to an emergency room as an emergency. You take them to the operating room. You make a small incision. You see the testicle is blue, and you can actually see the cord as twisted. Then you untwist it, usually 180 degrees or 360 degrees, it could be 720 degrees, and all of a sudden, over 5 minutes, you see the testicle pinking up, and it gets its blood supply again. And then you tap the testicle in the scrotum and you've preserved the testicle. You've saved it. Now, let's say somebody has pain, they're not sure what it is, and they stay home for 2 or 3 days, and they come into the emergency room, so we see no blood flow. We end up taking them to the operating room, but sometimes it's black, and you untwist it and it doesn't improve, you cut into it, there's no bleeding. Our treatment is usually to remove that testicle. That's the treatment that urologists have been trained. If you don't, that testicle will infarct, develop an abscess, infection, etc. Which is why, so there was a debate. Maybe because of Tzuladaka, we should leave the testicle in place. Here's the problem. It's been shown that in patients with testicular torsion, the testicle basically breaks up into pieces. It's not Schleimann anymore. Now, there is a barrier called the blood-brain barrier. God forbid people have certain diseases and they need chemotherapy. The chemotherapy will not cross the blood-brain barrier. There is vascular connections that are tighter between the brain and the bloodstream, not allowing certain chemicals and certain proteins and certain medicines to cross that barrier. So it has to be injected directly into intrathecal space, for example. You got to get it directly into the fluid bathing the brain because it won't cross that barrier. Well, it's interesting. The testicle also has a blood testicular barrier. Think about it. If it didn't, we would make antibodies to our own sperm because we are a product of a father and a mother who have different genetics, and therefore there's a potential that you can make, and therefore we find in patients who've not had that testicle removed when they have torsion have a higher incidence of anti-sperm antibodies later on in life, which presents with infertility. We see through this the concept of removing a whole testicle, shleimim, as opposed to, let's say, it had been removed in pieces because of this testicular blood barrier, there's more of a chance that you're going to have antibodies against your testicle, against your sperm, make increase in fertility. So this informs this issue of removing a testicle shleimim as opposed to in pieces. It gives this medical foundation to why did Tosfos there say shleimim. We explained actually both, shleimim and the way the Rishi said shel yamin. I don't have enough time because of the shiur at 9 o'clock, said we were gonna stop here. There is the Gemara that we're gonna learn soon in Yevamos. It's repeated in Bechoros that it seemed, I'm going to read it. page 14, B'choris Mem Dalad Amid Beis, Tan Rabbanon, it's on the top, where it's asterisk. Shnei Nekovim Yesh Bo Ba'adam. There are two holes. Echad Moitzi Sheten, Ve'echad Moitzi Shechlezer. Ve'ein Bein Zelazel Ketpipas Hashum. And the distance between the two of these shvilim, these two tubes, is like a garlic peel. Meaning, it seems from the Gemara that a man had two. We have one tube. A man goes to the bathroom through the. His zera comes out through the same tube that the urine comes out. And so there's a major machlokas between the Chazon Ish, who says nishtanu ativim. Well, today, Chazon Ish says, well, we see there are no two shvilim, we only have one shvil. And the Chesh of HaEfod, who says, it's not nishtanu ativim, and you'll be able to look, I'm going to show you a picture on page 10, actually the last page on your booklet. You'll see the bladder, as the arrow pointed to the bladder. Below the bladder is the prostate. We urinate right through the prostate, so the urethra travels from the bladder to the outside. Now, in the prostate is the ejaculatory duct, which joins the urethra at that location in the prostate. Here's where, remember, in the scrotum, the vas deferens is in the kiss, is in the scrotum. But then where the hernia happens in the inguinal canal, the vas takes a turn until it goes behind the prostate and enters into the ejaculatory duct. There the shvil hazera is within the abdomen. It's not in the kiss. That's a very important yisod, gentlemen. Cutting the shvil in the scrotum makes you a psua daka. But the heter of the Chazon Ish is that if you cut the shvil with inside the abdomen, which you have to do when you do a radical prostatectomy, you remove the prostate for prostate cancer, we cut the shvil hazera there, inside the abdomen. That does not make you a psua daka according to the Chazon Ish. That's number one, the heter of the Chazon Ish. Number two, this is what we're talking about, two shvilim. The ejaculatory duct, it joins here, and it's klipas hashum. The between the bladder and this ejaculatory duct, there's a little tiny amount of tissue. So it's just, we're able to describe anatomically this, what the Gemara was talking about, that if it got obstructed, the shnei nekovim, according to Chazon Ish, even nishtanu ativim, it's very hard to understand how in 2,000 years, from the time of Chazal, that would change, because the Chesh of HaYifod has a different version of the Chazon Ish, that's not nishtanu ativim. One more thing I wanted to say, that in my travels in Eretz Yisrael, with Rav Asher Weiss, and with Matisyo Deutsch, from Rabban Shlomo, the son-in-law of Moshe Halberstam, and was Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, was the son and Shlomo Moshe Klein, and Maina Yeshua. But I want to tell you a vignette from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein is Baruch Hashem, I don't know whether he's in his 90s or high 80s, he's a very, very elderly man. I spent an hour with him, and I gave him the sheet of paper. I had a sheet of 10 questions. I gave this to all those poskim. They all responded to us, and it's on the back of the sefer in a special appendix. Like all the questions we have, very detailed technical questions that we face day to day to day, and they answer. Most of them they answer the same way. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who's the son-in-law of Rabbi Yoshev, so first of all, he reminded me very much of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Didn't stop smiling. He knew everything on his fingertips. On his fingertips. All the medical things, it was unbelievable. Knew everything on his fingertips. On one of the pages, everything was in Hebrew, except I wrote the word TURP. The most important surgery that we do in urology is the transurethral resection of the prostate, where we go with a telescope and we scrape out the prostate. That's where, in the times of Rav Moshe, Rav Ezrahi wrote about it as well, Rav Burg, when he wrote about it. They used to do a prophylactic vasectomy to prevent the person from getting epididymitis. Well, that hasn't been done for 50 years. So Rav Moshe, that would make you up to a doctor. But Rav Moshe already then asked, I know the urologist in New Rochelle, lives in my sister's community, Dr. Botchko. Rav Moshe already, in the English Moshe in the 60s, says, I consulted with Dr. Botchko, who I met, who was friends with my sister. And now they don't do that, so it's not a problem. But the word terp, I wrote, it was in English. Terp, there's no, it's an English word, T-U-R-P. So Rav Yitzchak, he asked me, Ma Latina tase? What is this English? Anit Sioni said it twice to me. Ani rak medaber ivrit. So I had to change the whole thing and give him that. Then I talked to him about the heter of Rav Moshe, of that he said that if someone had asked about all the Balshim, that's a question I get many times from the posting that I told you I would get questions. A Balshuva maybe was married and had a vasectomy, was not religious. Both chutei beitzim were cut in the scrotum. He can't be molded. He's a psua daka. It's not beitza akas. It's the chutim on both sides have been cut. You can't deliver shechva zera. That's l'chol adeis. That we try to say that chutei, if you go into the safe, you'll see, maybe we thought it meant the epididymis only. We wanted to do a malamit chus on people who have vasectomy, but in the end, we were not able to be matur that because once the sperm leaves the epididymis into the vas, it's a transport tube only. There's no hisbashlus. The Rambam uses a language of hisbashlus. Well, if the vas deferens is only a transport tube, maybe cutting it shouldn't make you a tzedakah. We once had Rav Weinreb wrote the same thing about a tubal ligation, that it's not just a transport tube. But that's by females, it's not such a severe thing. But in the end, it wasn't accepted. But anyways, so I went with Rav Zilberstein, and I said, you know, Rav Moshe has a tshuva that if you do a vasovasostomy, that's a 4-hour operation, using a microscope, using 9-0, 10-0 proline. Most of the sutures we use are 2-0 or 3-0. This is microscopic, like Bernie knows, like an ophthalmologist uses it. You have to use a microscope because the tube is so small and you have to put it together. By the way, the success rate's about 90% at delivering the zera. That means if you do the test after you do the vasovasectomy, you can recover zera in about 90% of cases. The pregnancy rates depend on how long ago you had the vasectomy. If it's within 7 years, it's very high. The longer you go beyond 7 years, it goes down. But basically, Rav Moshe's, my reading of Rav Moshe was that if the zera, if you can see zera, and there's potential, because remember, today with IVF, with ICSI, intracytoplasmic sperm inspiration, if you find one sperm, what we were talking about, tezi and microtezi, where an infertile person comes, they can operate on the testicle and find one sperm. Klinefelter syndrome, we talk about somebody who's XXY. They're very tall, they're born with very small testicles. You can tell by physical examination that they have this disorder. And they were, for the last 100 years, infertile. Their testes are the size of a marble. But there are hundreds of Klinefelter syndrome cases now, where they've been able to biopsy the testicle, find even one sperm, place it into the egg of their wife, and they're able to have children. So that's what I'm saying. If the person underwent a reversal of the vasectomy, and you can find any, even one sperm, it will do it. So I said that maybe not everyone agrees with the heter of Moshe. So Rav Zilberstein, he took his glasses off, and he looked at me extremely sternly. He says, argue with Rav Moshe? He said to me that his father-in-law, this is I'm being made, says his father-in-law Rav Yashiv told him that there are three people that if we argue on them, it's leitzanus hatov. It's mocking the Torah. He said it was the Stipler, Rav Aaron Kotler, and Rav Moshe Feinstein. That we may not argue with them. Now we know Rav Shlomo is. I'm an argue, but that was his generation. But he says in our generation, we may not argue. By the way, I wrote all of this down and many other anecdotes that I heard from the Gedolim. I spent about 45 minutes with Shaul Moshe Klein, who's a very tough posek. He's in Ma'aneh Yeshua. But we got answers from him in the name of Rav Vosner, because his Bezdin was under Rav Vosner. So in the answers he gave him, Kach Kosov HaRav Vosner. You know, he most of the Shuvas, as you remember, right, he gave us, it was in the name of Rav Vosner. It's very important, because I'm not sure we see in print Rav Vosner's shilas on these issues, but now we have them. Anyways, we wanted to share you a little bit of the Sefer, especially the Daf Yomi learners, who are now going to have the Sukkiah. I think the Sefer will be very interesting. The Aguda Daf Yomi Commission is sending, you know, this material to all the Magidei Shiurim of Daf Yomi. I get it all the time when a new Daf is comes out, they send you a new Sefer on the Brachas or on Shabbos, but the we had to send the Sefer to three reviewers, and they accepted it, and that they're gonna allow Magidei Shiurim to use it as well when they teach the Sugin Yavon. Thank you, really, everybody, much for coming. It's a great cover to us.
Shkoyach, we just want to mention that we do have Sfarim outside available. Right, ask Dr. Agustin, he's the one who's giving them out. And I wanted to mention as well that those who want to get the Sefer, it's on a website called MoroccanHalacha.com. What this has to do with Moroccan Halacha, that's a mystery. But that's where you can obtain the Sefer. And we want to thank you once again. And Mirtz Hashem, it's called Sefer Kahal Hashem. Shkoyach. Yes,